are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
All right, let's start here. Good morning, church. I realized this. I was watching Joe's message from a couple weeks ago, and he said that, and then he said something about like me saying that every week. I don't know that I've ever explained this, why I say that. There's a couple reasons. Number one, I don't know all of your names. That's the easiest one that I can say. Secondly, like we're collectively, like we're the church. Like instead of saying, hey, welcome to church, like welcome church, like because the like we're in a public school, we're in a, like a performing arts center, like this place is amazing, but like if we're meeting somewhere else, we're still the church, like we're the body. And so it's just one of those things that's always, I think I heard somebody else do it one time and I'm like, yeah, that's, it's a great reminder every time we start out that we're the church. And then if I've not met you, my name is Scott. I'm serving as the interim teaching pastor here. I love it that a fact that I get to do this. My family and I is this is our home church. We've worshiped here for a couple of years, and I get to step in and do this. But I just, this morning I was in worship and I just was like sensing, not in like a weird way, but just like this awesome privilege of just us as a church. Like, and this question formed in my brain, like, what if, and it's kind of a dumb question if I'm honest, because I think the answer is kind of rhetorical, but what if God's not done with this church? Like, what if God's like priming us, like we're positioned for something amazing? Like, what if? Like, I don't have any insider information. That's not like, I know something that you don't, like, that's not that kind of thing. But like, I just got excited this morning a little bit. So that's all just a bonus track. So there you go. My name is Scott, like I said, and I'm glad that you're here. We're winding down. We're landing the plane on this series that we called Stand. I opened this series and we looked at a story from the Old Testament, kind of a classic, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love that story because it ends with this this moment where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king was like, I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't do this. And they stand up to the king and they're like, King, we believe that God can save us and we hope that he does. But even if he doesn't, King, our feet are planted and we're going to stand for him. That's kind of where we started. God, I believe that you can. I hope that you do. But even if you don't, I'm going to stand. And we called this series Stand for a couple of reasons, because we felt like it was a generic enough term that you could use it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes we do stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Sometimes we stand down like in the midst of thing, everybody else is like piling on. Sometimes we stand down, or we stand up for people, or we stand with people, or we stand by others, or we stand with power, or we stand with God, or we stand down and we choose not to use our power or influence. There's lots of ways we can interpret that. And the hope is that the Lord speaks to you in some way for you. So that was week one. And then week two, Joe stood up here and I love this. He took on the challenge of kind of some doctrinal truths out of the book of Romans. And really, I thought did an incredible job. I so love sitting under his teaching. I've gotten to do that a couple times. And I love how he just like reminded us all that when we like surrender to God as our authority, the battle has already been won. If God is for us, who can be against us? Like, it was a great way to look at that. And then Ryan last week did a great job of just kind of unfolding even the fruits of the Spirit and looking at that. And Ryan did two amazing things. Number one, I love the story that he told about the puzzle. And like, instead of standing back and then like, there's another stand thing. Instead of just standing back and yelling at people, he used this great puzzle illustration I told him I'm gonna steal and use at other times. Instead of just standing back and yelling at people like a puzzle, like hey, no, just you put yourself together, like that we step in, right? And then we help them assemble it and put it together. It was beautiful, it was awesome. That was one awesome thing they did. The second amazing thing that he did is his whole message was like 16 minutes. That was incredible. And I was like, wow. And I just wanna tell you, don't expect that today. I'm just going to be straight up clear with that. Like, don't expect that. But I loved listening to him and hearing that. And so today my challenge is just to kind of land this idea of stand today. So if you brought your Bible, stick your finger in the book of Ephesians. That's towards the back. We're going to go there. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. And since this series is called Stand, I thought we would look at a passage that tells us where we sit. What? I thought this was Stand. Yeah, I put the series together and I really felt like that's where we needed to start today, because that's where Paul starts in this letter. So Joe looked at Romans and we were looking at some of Paul's writings and again, this doctrinal stuff, but I want to start us in Ephesians chapter 2. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 starts like this. As for you, and he's writing to this church in Ephesus, and he's reminding them where they came from, okay? So this is Paul reminding the church where they came from. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Paul's saying, I need to remind you, you were, not are, you were dead in your sin and transgressions. Paul's saying, because you were following and surrendering authority other than God. So he's helping them and establish the groundwork. This is who you were. You were dead. You deserved death because of your sin. Happy Sunday morning, right? That's awesome. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time. So Paul's saying all of us have done that, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I don't know your spiritual journey. Like I said, I don't even know your names, a lot of you. I don't know your spiritual journey, where you're at, but this is the truth. Without God stepping in and interceding on our behalf, and God stepping in and standing up for us, we are deserving of his wrath. The wages of sin are death. That's what we deserve. We break God's laws. We break God's heart. We deserve death. That's all Paul is reminding us of. And then this is where we need to spend our time, because then he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Oh, okay. I understand we're not that kind of church, but let me just read this again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace you have been saved. Okay, yeah. How much do we get used to just hearing that? Oh yeah, that's an amazing thing. Yeah, God did this, and you know, it's by grace that we've been saved, and you know, we were dead, but now we're alive. And then we go, oh yeah, duh. When it should be something that, like, if we'll really grasp every day and remember, oh wow, how would our days look different? I have a practice in the morning. I try to, every single morning, I try to get up, spend time with my journal because I need to focus, and I'm writing, not because I'm a great journaler, because I have trouble focusing. And so I sit down and I write. So my hand is moving, my brain is seeing my hand move, and you know, no sounds, and I can just focus on the words. And I used to always start with, God, thank you for like how you made me. And I realized I was starting with me instead of him. And so now, like, my journal, and when I die, my kids are going to read them and go, this is so boring. He says the same thing every day. Yeah, because I need to remember every day, God, thank you for what you've done. And now I even do something different for the world and allowed me to experience your salvation as well. Because if I just start with me, it's all about me. And I have to remember, no, he died for the world, everybody's sins. And then I try to start with this position of gratitude that in my death, my sin, breaking God's law and God's heart, he died for me. And look at then what happens next. Because of his great love for us, God, whose rich mercy made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in sin and transgressions, and by grace we have been saved. And then, verse 6, here's where we're going to spend our time. And then God raised us up with Christ and seated us. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of grace expressed in his kindness to us through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's where we're spending our time, because I need us to see this. Before we talk about standing and taking things on, we have to solve this. And Joe talked about it a couple weeks ago. If we are in Christ, our eternity has already been decided. And so we are now seated with him in the heavenly realms. Paul is going to challenge this church at Ephesus, and now he's challenging us with some other things later in this, but he needs to establish this. If we are in Christ, if it was a church camp, if it was at a concert somewhere, a Bible school, with your parents when you were little, maybe it was 2 weeks ago somewhere, maybe it was at an event, maybe it was in your living room, in your car driving. If you made a transaction, you traded what you've done, the bad stuff you've done, for the good things that God did, if there was a transaction that took place between you and God, your sin for his salvation, what Paul is reminding us of before we do anything else in the book of Ephesians is that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Let that sink in, because Paul is saying, before you take a stand, recognize where you sit. The game's already been won. You can watch the game on TV, but you know the outcome. It's already been won. Now, I need to take a time out here, because Ryan did something that we don't do often enough, I think. We talk like everybody has already made that decision. We talk like everyone already knows that and has done that. And so if you landed here this morning and you're like, I thought I was coming to watch a play at the high school, and turns out, joke's on me, it's a church, right? No, like if that's like news to you and you're hearing this for the very first time, you need to know that's available to everyone, regardless of what you've done, where you've been, how bad your stuff was. There's probably somebody in here that did worse anyway. Like that God gives that and makes that available to every single person. Because if I don't tell you that when we talk about standing, and here this other thing we're going to talk about in just a second, that all just becomes a bunch of work and you're trying to earn it. But Paul's reminding us, if we've made that transaction, if it's happened, this is our position. We are seated with him. And that is our position in Christ, that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. But Scott, but I live here. Yes, temporarily. This is your apartment. You have a home waiting for you in heaven. Okay. If Ryan were preaching, we'd be going home now, okay? But I need to keep going, because I haven't even gotten to the part that I needed to talk about. So our first thing we have to understand, seated in is our position in Christ. Now, thumb over to Ephesians chapter 4, because now, remember, the series is called Stand, so we need to look at what Paul is saying. So Ephesians chapter 4, Paul goes on. He says this, I therefore, Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk. Wait, I thought we were talking about standing. Okay, hang on for just a second. We have to sit first in our position. And then Paul tells us, and we're looking at the ESV, the English Standard Version of this text, because the NIV and a couple of other versions have deviated a little bit, not like in error, but they've deviated and they've picked different words here. I do like the ESV and the King James Version, how it says this. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Does that sound like what Ryan talked about last week? He talked about the fruits of the Spirit. You see hints of that here. Paul's telling us not only to walk, but then how to walk. See, the idea is once we understand this, I am seated in the heavenly realms. My eternity has already been decided. The outcome of the game, I get to be with God. That happened at that moment, that transaction. Then what Paul is telling us is now that you know that and you have confidence in that and you feel good about that, awesome. Now, sure, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk it out, baby. Walk every day faithfully and consistently. Shouldn't I run? Isn't there some urgency? Nope, Paul just says, I want you to walk it out. Just walk faithfully. Every month, every 30 days or so, I sit with a guy. He's my therapist. He's my counselor. I think all of us need that. I sit with him every 30 days, whether I think I need it or not, because for the last 15 years, this guy's been amazing in my life, helps me keep stuff on the rails. I have no shame in going to a counselor or a therapist. I sit with him, like I said, all the time. And we've become good enough friends now over the years. And this guy's about 20 years older than me. And we were together this week. And he's just been going through some stuff in life. His wife is aging and has a chronic illness, and it's bad. And she's now in a place that's helping her, you know, kind of end of life stuff. And I'm just sitting with him, and I just ask, like, how are things going? And we sat for the first 5-10 minutes, and he just sat and told me stories of what's happened over the last month, 45 days. And through tears, he's telling me of the experience of caring for her and then laughing a little bit at some of the funny things that she said, but then crying at some of the things that, the ways in which he said that he's been privileged to serve her, but it's ways that he never thought he would be serving her. And I'm watching this guy just pour out his heart and his guts and telling me how he has been, and this is what amazed me, how he has just been faithful to her and how over the years he's just been walking it out. And now he continues to walk it out day after day after day. And I sat there just amazed, number one, at kind of what he was telling me, that secondly, that I have the privilege to sit with the guy who's coaching me and mentoring me to on how to love my wife as Christ loves the church and how to be faithful to God on my calling. And I'm like, why are you sitting with me, coaching me when your wife is in this facility? Because this guy's met with over 4,000 pastors over the last several years and missionaries and people that he's counseling and caring for and coaching. And he's just pouring his life out every day, faithfully, just serving the Lord. And as we talked, we were talking about things, and he said, it's hard, you know, it's hard when she was at home because I was caring for her at home. But he said, it sounds weird, but now, like, it's harder that she's there, but it's easier in some ways because I get up at 4 a.m. and, you know, have my devotions and sit and read my coffee, drink my coffee and read the Bible and that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where has that love and that care, where has all that come from? It's come from a walk faithfully, day after day after day, month after month. Oh, not Sunday and Sunday and Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm doing this on purpose. Wednesday, Thursday. It's the faithfulness over time. And Paul, I think in Ephesians 4, is saying this. Live a life worthy of the calling. That word, live a life, there's translated to walk. Walk it out faithfully day after day after day. I don't know what that means to you. I don't want church to be a place where you come and you get this burden where you feel this heaping, oh, pastor said now I have to do this and this and this and this and this, and all of a sudden it starts to feel heavy. Well, that's not church. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are there things he's asking us to do? Yeah. But it's not to heap on guilt and more things to do. It's to get to know him, to love him, and to just walk faithfully. I'll let you interpret what that means for you. But I think all of us, myself included, we need to have people that are a season or two ahead of us that we can look at that have made it that are being faithful, and we can buddy up to them and ask how they've done it. We can learn from them, and we can just continue to grow and to be faithful day after day after day. And so for some of you, maybe the sermon is done. Maybe the challenge for you is complete today, and you go, yep, I know what I need to do. I need to get back on some faithfulness habits, or I need to just start walking. Incremental success is better than epic failure. Don't go home and say, I'm going to read the New Testament this afternoon. Don't. You're setting yourself up for epic failure. But just incremental success, moving forward, moving the needle day after day after day. Okay, so I thought this thing was called stand. So the first thing you told me was to sit. Yep. And then next, walk. Yep. Because walking is our practice. That's what we do. So what's next? Well, now we can go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 6, I was blessed to have parents that took me to church every week. Ephesians chapter 6 is typically the passage where kids start coloring in. We give them a picture of a Roman soldier and they start coloring in the armor of God. So if you've been in church your whole life, you're like, oh yeah, Ephesians chapter 6, I think that's probably isn't that one. Yep, that's the one. We're not talking about the armor today. Okay, we're not, because we've been doing a word study on stand, even though I took us to sit and walk. So let's close this sucker up with what Paul says about standing. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, this is Paul kind of closing up his letter as we close up the series as well. Finally, Paul says, after all of these things, after you've understood where you sit, and we've talked about walking, finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Don't do this work on your own. Joe talked about self-sufficiency, right? Us trying to do things on our own. Paul's saying, finally, do this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not yours. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Time out real quick. Whose armor is it? Oh, it's God's armor. Yeah, see, this is a classic mistake for me. I try to put on my armor. When things get tough, I go to the things that I do well, or try to do well. When things get hard, I try to muster up the strength. When things get difficult, I try to lean into those shortcuts, those things that I can do. And Paul's saying, hey, finally, like there's a battle. We just talked about this. And the devil's going to try to take you out. Don't put on your like paper mache armor. That's silly. Don't do it. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then he tells us how the devil's going to do this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He was like, it's going to come from lots of different angles, and it is a big battle. It's not small. It's huge. It's cosmic. Let that be an encouragement to us. If you're going through a hard, dark time, it's possible. It's not just because of a choice you made. It's possible it's not just because, oh, it's Murphy's Law, right? It's possible that there's something bigger, that you're on the cusp of doing something great for the Lord as you are faithfully walking it out. And the devil, the enemy is scheming to take you out. Let that be an encouragement to you. That's a strange encouragement, but let that be an encouragement. There may be something bigger. Actually, if we think it's always about, well, I did this and I did this, who are we putting at the center of that argument? Ourself, right? That's pretty arrogant to think that we're that awesome that we derailed all of God's plans. We're not that awesome. It's possible the enemy is prowling, trying to take us out. Paul reminds us of this. So he says, put on God's armor, not your own, because there's a huge battle that's going to try to, the enemy's going to try to take you out. Verse 13, he tells us again, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to, here we go, stand. That you may be able to stand. That you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything with your power, wearing God's full armor, you would, he says it again, stand. Opens verse 14. Stand firm. He says it four times here in two verses. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The text goes on to read a bunch of the armor of God, and we're not going there because this isn't a word study and a study on the armor of God. This is a study on the word stand, where we've been looking at it. This idea of stand, I looked up the Greek word because I'm supposed to. And so I looked up that Greek word. Here's what it says. The word is histomi, which means to hold our position under pressure. And I love it. One commentator said, this isn't statue language, like don't move so they don't see us. It's soldier language. It's likely that as Paul was writing this, he's writing this letter and he's encouraging the church of Ephesus. He's trying to tell them all these things. He says he's in prison, right? It's possible that what Paul was doing, he's writing this letter and he's like, I don't know, I got nothing. He was like, oh, finally. He looks up and sees a Roman guard. Finally, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And he begins to give us this picture, probably even from studying this Roman soldier who's like keeping him in prison. He was like, oh, you're going to wear that? Oh, fine. I'm going to use that. People are going to read about this for a long time, right? And he's like, I'm going to leverage this for good. And Paul begins to write this. And he's telling us to take a stand, to dig in. Now, I'm going to nerd out for just a second because he says, fit your feet, right, with these sandals of peace, with these boots of peace. Now, I had to look this up, right, to figure this out. Like, a Roman soldier typically wouldn't wear flip-flops. Like, there's like not like little bitty sandals. They would have these, they were like sandals because they were made of leather and they would wrap their legs. And you've seen like people do weird cosplay stuff and that, like in movies, and they'll wear those, like they wrap their legs with the leather to keep that shoe on their foot. Why? Because that shoe was usually about a 1-inch piece of leather. They would layer up a bunch of layers of leather. They were about an inch thick. And then they would take and they would pound anywhere from 80 to 140 nails into that leather. Okay, so think about that for a second. So, and then they would put another piece of leather over the top, but the nails would stick beneath the sandal, right? About anywhere from, they said, about 1/4 inch to 3/4 inch. So if you've ever run track, right, those are some serious track shoes, right? You're getting some serious traction on that, right? And so what they would do is they would put those sandals on and then they would stand next to one another in battle, side by side, almost shoulder to shoulder, put their shield up, and then they would dig in with those. And now look at how they're standing, right? And their feet, I guess unless you come along the side and push them all over one way, but their feet are all, that's how my brain works. I'm like, well, just go tip them over like dominoes, right? So, but their feet, they're all dug in like this and they're standing next to one another. And Paul, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is urging us as fellow believers, understand the battle's already been won. Secondly, you've been walking around. You can have confidence to walk around and do your job. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand. Stand ready with your feet snuggled in right there. You got those nails that are into the soil and you got a person to your left and a person to your right so you can guard one another, so you can stand up for one another. You're getting tired, you lean on me for a minute, right? Because here we go. I'm gonna stand with you. That's the imagery that Paul is giving us. And not is it just imagery that he's giving. This is what he's telling us to do. As believers. Yeah, but I don't know, the enemy and they're ugly and they're mean. Yeah, the battle's already been won. He didn't tell us to like take those and like start running. He says, you just stand. I'm gonna do a work that you are not gonna believe. So dig in, stand next to one another, stand up for one another, get in there and take your stand. You're gonna be okay. Is it gonna be hard? Yeah. Are you gonna take shots? Yeah. We're gonna lose somebody? Yep. But the battle's already been won. Isn't it tricky? it's tricky to me. And the band, if you guys are somewhere, you guys can start to come back out. It's tricky because This idea of standing is hard. It's hard because the world doesn't want us to stand. They actually want us to just sit quietly and just go and go away in a corner. But God is calling us sometimes to stand up, sometimes to stand in, sometimes to stand for, sometimes to stand down. But he's calling us to dig in to him and fight this battle with him, not on our own, with each other, with us as the church, for each other, and for him. That's what he's asking us to do. So I have three challenges, and it's funny because they're not all three for you. Probably only one is for you. Here's the challenge this morning. Challenge number one is this thought. Put them up on the screen because I've lost my notes. Would you for me, please? Challenge number one is, I'm going to put it like this, even though it says return. I'm going to put claim or return to your seat. Here's what I mean. If Paul is telling us like that as followers of Jesus, we are seated with him in the heavenly realm. Some of you have forgotten that and you need to reclaim that. You need to say, yeah, I need to remember that that's where my authority lies and that's where the victory lies in him. And if you made that decision sometime at some point in your life, you just need to reclaim that today and go, yep, I need to remember that. And for some of you, that's new. And if you want to do that today, again, during the service, after the service, there'll be people down here. You can just come up and go, hey, I need to have a seat. And they'll know what that means. And you want to like take what you've done for what has already been done for you. And you want to have that transaction. That's available to you. Second one is this. Ask, where have I just been wobbling and not walking? I'm going to let you ask that question. If that's a question you know you need to ask the Lord, I'm going to let you just ask that question while we sing today. Lord, where have I been wobbling and not walking? Where have I just been hanging out? I've just been like, I'm not really walking. I'm not really moving forward. I'm just kind of hanging back. Because I think there's something that he wants us to do faithfully every single day. It's different for all of us in the room. Right? The way my brain is wired, my spiritual practices, the way, I think there's some consistent ones, following God's word, reading God's word, right? I think there's some that are for all of us, but then there's other places and spaces that he's given you where you live, learn, work, and play. Just ask him, Lord, where do you want me to walk into? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And so that's the second challenge, is just asking, where have I been wobbling and where do I need to walk? And he'll lead you, he'll lead me, he'll lead us. And I think there's enough people in this community that need people snuggling up to him and saying, hey, how can I help? That he'll lead us to those places. Which gets to the third one, that we all have people that they need somebody who has dug in and they need somebody to stand with them. Just ask the Lord, maybe this is your challenge. Who else do you need to help take a stand? Maybe you're in a position of influence or a position of affluence or a position of wisdom, or you're in a position of life where you've got extra time in your hands, or you just don't, but you just know the Lord's asking you to help somebody else take a stand. I think there's people out there that are waiting, that need that. And we fly so fast and we run, we don't walk. We run so fast and so hard. This is my story, that I just don't even see them. Everybody's a blur because I'm after my own agenda. And the Lord's asking us to just start walking and then looking around. So there's one of three challenges, and I'm gonna leave that with you. And here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray, and then these guys are gonna come up and sing. You know the routine, you know the drill. We do this every week. They're gonna sing two songs, but here's my challenge. This is so funny. I'm gonna ask you to not stand when we sing. Until you've solved one of these three things. I'm gonna ask you to just stay in your seat. These guys know it. I did it last service. They're just going to play these songs and sit in your seat and sing or pray or just listen. And then when you feel ready, then stand. Don't do it out of the gate because, well, you know, I wait until they're done playing guitar and then the first lyrics sing, then I go ahead and stand. Like, that's Pavlov's dog, right? We blow a whistle and the dog goes and eats. Stay in your seat, sit. that sounded bad because I talked about dog and then I'm like, sit. My point is, don't stand. Stay seated. And then when you feel led, when you feel prompted, this is good practice for us just to discern the Holy Spirit. When you feel prompted, then I want you to stand and then just keep singing, and then we'll close out our service. So focus on one of these three things. Tag one in your brain right now, because when the lyrics pop up, these go away. So tag one in your brain. Ask the Lord about that for the next few minutes. I'm going to pray, and then I'll be done. Lord, I love you. I trust you. God, thank you for standing for us. Just thank you for standing for us. And Lord, if we need to claim or reclaim our seat, help us to do that and reveal that to us in this moment. God, if there's something specific you're asking us to walk into or to do to start walking, I pray that you'd reveal that in this moment. And Lord, if there's people in our lives that you know that you've already positioned us and you've already prompted us like to help and to stand with, Lord, I pray that you would deliver that message to us in this little space right here. Give us all the courage to both to stay seated, but then also to stand as you call us to stand, even this morning in these next few moments. Jesus, I love you. I thank you. We give this time to you. It's yours. We give it back to you. Use this to speak to us.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.